At this time on our agenda, then we'll turn to the Judicial Council members' liaison reports. I turn it over to Justice Nguyen.
We have two reports today. The first is from Judge Morris Jacobson concerning the County of San Francisco.
Sorry, I'm going to do Contra Costa. We had a little confusion about that. I will do San Francisco at our next meeting. Okay, thank you. On September 23rd, I was invited to come and visit Contra Costa County. And I met with Presiding Judge Barry Good, Assistant Presiding Judge Steve Austin, CEO Steve Nash. Had a long visit with them. I was there from about 9 in the morning to about 3 in the afternoon. Also present for a large part of this meeting was their top management staff, including Jim Paulson, Mimi Zimmelman, Lucy Fogarty, Kate Beaker, and Heather Pettit. Not surprisingly, the Contra Costa County Superior Court continues to struggle mightily with a greatly reduced budget. Their 2014-2015 projections showed revenues of about $52.9 million, expenses of about $58.36 million, an ongoing deficit of almost $5.5 million. With their IT and staffing plans resulting in cost reductions of $1.8 million and state funding adjustments of $2.3 million, they were still $1.3 million in the red. They continued to work on these solutions and came up with a series of one-time solutions to take care of the $1.3 million deficit, obviously having a lot of anxiety about the fact that they don't have reserves to carry them over should they come up short. Those solutions included imposing additional furlough days on staff, prior year purchases, which I'll explain in just a moment. They were able to get some achievement revenue and some other miscellaneous actions, for example, cutting their janitorial and custodian staff from 20 workers to 10. They noted that civil assessments were dropping, and they're having a difficult time trying to identify at what point this decline in this revenue will stabilize to the point where they can rely on that as revenue. Obviously, again, it's problematic with no reserves to provide a safety net. One thing that I've noted in my time on council with Contra Costa County, I feel I've been very fortunate to have this much exposure to my county next door. Oh, by the way, I did stick my head in. Marianne O'Malley was actually working, just so if anyone wanted to know.
If she's listening.
She was taking evidence.
I knew you were coming.
That's right. So, but they're a very innovative court, and they're very resourceful. So prior year purchases, I thought this was a very, very interesting idea. One of the things they did with their reserves was before we hit the July 1st deadline, they purchased 2 years' worth of supplies, all paper clips, pens, papers, all their Office Depot stuff. And did that for a two-year period. To quote Stephen Nash, we can't keep cash reserves, but we are able to keep toilet paper reserves. They have introduced cumatic numbering systems, sort of like what's used at DMV, to several areas to reduce lines and congestion in their various high-volume calendars, traffic and small claims and whatnot. They have revamped their self-help computers and on-screen guides to enhance tools available for litigants. So they don't have staff, but they've been able to provide better tools to help people through the self-help process. They've reached out to the local bar association on an ongoing basis for a couple of years now and are getting very good response with pro tems and small claims and UDs. They've also gotten help from the local bar with volunteer civil discovery mediators and facilitators. They've been looking for ways to add employee benefits at no cost to address, in part, employee morale issues. So they've done some things like they've increased the amount of annual leave accrual permitted. They're allowing people on certain holidays to leave early. If their budget permits, they're seeking to buy back a certain amount of vacation time one time per year. In imposing their furloughs, rather than doing it one time per month, the furloughs are going to be 4 days in this fiscal year, and they're doing it in the week of New Year's. So there's already a holiday that week, and so essentially they're giving most of their staff a week off at holiday time and spreading the reduction in pay across the year. During my visit there, this was a couple of weeks after the earthquake in Napa, and I toured four of their buildings in their Martinez Court Complex. They had a significant amount of damage, although they feel that they're lucky because most of the damage was considered to be cosmetic rather than structural. I saw lots of large cracks in sheetrock on walls, lighting fixtures that were damaged, venting and utility covers where covers had come off. So there was a fair amount of ice work, but not structural issues. The chief concern that was expressed, and this was expressed throughout the day in a lot of different ways, is that they feel that they're on the razor's edge with the budget. This year, they only have about $300,000 in reserves for the use in this fiscal year. It's forcing them to be very conservative to avoid risk of running in the red. They don't feel like they have any backup should that occur. It has limited them with temporary staffing options and dealing with backlog of filings and staff shortages. They've had, over the last year or so, the benefit of 43 limited-term employees to respond to certain operational problems that they've had. The good news is that they've been able to hire some of these people into permanent positions. However, going forward, they feel like they're only going to be able to keep about 25 of these limited-term workers. As they've gone from 43 to 25 people in this category, they've had a series of internal meetings where they made a little bit of light of this, that they're having competitions amongst their top management to figure out competing for who gets stuck with the staff cut, which category of their operations can best be a person short. Again, I think they're handling these issues with a very good attitude and trying as best they can to look at the glasses half full. In terms of their operations, they feel like they're able to provide full service so long as everyone shows up for work. If just one person in the clerk's office, for example, is gone because of vacation or because they're ill, they fall behind because they can't cover everything. Jim Paulson, for example, who's the senior manager in charge of family court services and probates, finds himself several times a month working the windows and manning the lines because someone in the clerk's office is on vacation or is ill. They no longer have floaters to cover courtroom clerks. Each time a courtroom clerk calls in sick, CEO Nash and Presiding Judge Good get directly involved in making a decision about what department is going to go dark that day because there's no one to cover the clerk. They found that in recent months, about once a month, they failed to have enough staff to cover all of their departments that are scheduled. They've had to send an assigned judge home because they've not been able to come up with a courtroom clerk. There's a caseload, a judge, and a courtroom, but no clerk, and they've been forced to shut the courtroom. For the sixth year in a row, there are no staff pay increases. Stephen Nash says that they're stretched so thin that they're redlining in all categories of operations, and they're beginning to see negative cycles. For example, sick leave is starting to increase. It now takes about 12 to 13 weeks to get a family law mediation appointment. And so one of the unintended byproducts of that is that they're starting to see a significant increase in ex parte motions on custody and visitation where people are seeking to get around that delay. To close, I'm going to quote Barry Good. We are now much more efficient, but we cannot efficient our way out of not enough courtroom clerks to cover the open scheduled courtrooms. So that's my report on Contra Costa County.
Thank you, Judge Jacobs.